All right, and we got a quorum. We'll call a meeting to order. Representative Dean moves the minutes of the February 13th, 2013 meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion prevails. I have the good fortune of getting to go back to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee meeting and present HF5, the health exchange, for a little while longer this afternoon. So it's deja vu all over again. I've asked Representative Hoppe to sit in and chair the. He's got, as you might imagine, quite a bit of familiarity with the next two bills on the agenda today. They've been through, I think, Chair Hoppe, each of these. Well, certainly the False Claims Act came through this committee once before. I believe that both of these bills are technical in nature, but wanted to have somebody with some experience. And no offense to anybody on my side, but the Commerce Committee is known for being a relatively bipartisan or even nonpartisan committee. So I am going to do that. Chairman Hoppe, if you'd be so kind as to take over. Representative Freiberg, you are up, my friend. Good luck to you. Yeah. Hey, Freiberg, is this your first bill up? First hearing?
Third.
Oh, well, never mind. You don't have
I'm old
the
hat.
Baptism thing.
He did bring trees.
Yeah.
And here I am, Leo.
Representative Anderson, do you remember, have we killed a bill in this committee yet this year?
Huh. Sounds like a good time.
Which health family are we on? 3065? Welcome to the committee. We kind of wish it was your first bill. That would be fun, but third one. Anyhow, welcome to the Commerce Committee. I will move House File 365 so it is properly before us, and with that, tell us why we should vote for it.
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's refreshing to be in a committee that works in such bipartisan fashion. This bill would make it clear that Minnesota law applies to remittance transfers. Basically, a remittance transfer is where somebody sends money to other parts of the world. As you might imagine, with an increasing number of Minnesotans who were born in other countries, this is an important piece of the marketplace. Historically, Minnesota statutes based on the Uniform Commercial Code have regulated remittance transfers, providing protections both to banks and consumers. The Dodd-Frank Act, which passed Congress a few years ago, made it somewhat unclear whether any law applies to remittance transfers. So this legislation says that state law, basically the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code, applies to remittance transfers unless they're preempted by federal law. And the bill shouldn't be controversial. There's no fiscal impact. Other states have adopted similar laws, most notably New York, and it has bipartisan, bicameral support. It's supported by the Minnesota Bar Association. Basically, all it does is restore Minnesota law to the state it was in before the passage of Dodd-Frank. There's an amendment, I understand, that I think was passed around. Actually, I probably should have started with rookie error.
That's okay. We'll just penalize you for that. Is it an author's amendment?
Yes. And basically all that does, because federal law makes an immediate change, the amendment makes the effective date immediate rather than the customary August 1st.
Okay. Well, I will go ahead and move the A1 amendment so we get it to the bill in the shape that the author desires. Are there any, does everybody have the amendment? It is the A1 amendment. It's a one line, just changing the date. Anybody have any questions about the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted. I think you have a testifier, Representative Freiberg, that wants to come down.
Sure. Well, he's Gene Hennig, who's one of Minnesota's Uniform Law law Commissioners, is here to answer any questions
okay.
if you have any. So,
I don't see any questions. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill? Not seeing anyone else. Representative Van Zels, anything? Okay. Representative Freiberg, we'll give you the final word, and I will... move House File 365 as amended, be recommended to pass, and go on to the General Register. You want a final word before we vote?
See if you can
Thank
tell
you.
Who I'm imitating. It's a good bill. You should pass it.
We don't like imitations here.
Oh, okay.
But we do like short. You did a nice job. It was nice and short and to the point. We appreciate that. I will do it one more time. We recommend that House File 365 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The bill is passed and sent on to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Freiberg, and thank you for the treats. We can only assume that... Representative Simon, come on down. Boy, if a freshman brought us cookies, we can only imagine what Representative Simon must have brought.
He's got Halloween candy.
October 2012.
Representative Simon, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I will move House File 290, so it is before the committee. And Representative Simon, with that, go ahead and tell us what we need to know.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Good to be back. I used to be on this committee for a while. Now I'm gone.
We all remember it fondly.
Always good to be back. Members, this is kind of an update to the False Claims Act, which we passed in 2009. It came before this committee. This is really a bill that's technical in nature. You're getting handouts right now, and I apologize that they weren't in your packets earlier. So we passed it in 2009. Just as a refresher, the Federal False Claims Act started in the Civil War. It was originally called Lincoln's Law. It was a way for the federal government to get at crooked contractors who provided lame mules or rotten food to the Union Army. And they wanted some way to get at these contractors who had knowingly provided bad stuff to the country. And that evolved over time to be a mechanism by which whistleblowers, or others, but whistleblowers can bring to the attention of the government fraud in this area. And it has to be knowing. It has to be intentional. It's not for mistakes. It's not for inadvertence. It's not for negligence. It's for knowing behavior. So in the mid-1980s, Congress empowered states to pass their own False Claims Act. About 23, 24 states have done so, at least as of a couple years ago. We did so, too, in 2009. But in order to sweeten the pot so that states would pass these kinds of laws, which get at sort of contractor fraud, the federal government said, you know, here's what we're going to do. We will, to sweeten the pot, we will add a 10% bonus to all states who pass False Claims Act that comply with certain guardrails or guidelines, you might say. And the 10% bonus is this. I don't serve on any of the healthcare committees, so some of you are probably way ahead of me on this. But so MA, the Medicaid program in Minnesota and in most states, is a 50-50 split. Feds pick up 50% of the costs, so does Minnesota. Apparently in some states, it's not 50-50, but it is here. So that also means on the flip side that when any money is recovered due to Medicaid fraud, either by federal prosecutors or by attorneys in Minnesota, that money is also split 50-50. So even if the feds do all the work, we get 50% of the money, and the same is true on the other side. If we do all the work, the feds get 50% of the money, and I guess that's fair. But what the federal government said a few years ago is that states, if you pass a False Claims Act that meets certain specifications, we're going to give you a 10% bonus, so that 50-50 split would now be 60-40. So if $1,000 was recovered on a Medicaid fraud case, that would normally mean we get $500. Now it means we get $600 if we do it. So we passed it in 2009, and we had a delayed effective date of a year. And then what you got handed out to you was a letter that came down, I think it was August 31st, 2011, after reviewing our law that said, here are some suggestions to make yours compliant so that you're eligible for the bump or for the bonus. So all I did was I took that letter. I went to two people who I trust in House Research, one of whom is here to answer any questions if you have any technical questions, and I said, please do amendments to the False Claims Act that do nothing more or nothing less than this letter. That's it. That's the whole bill. So I've been in contact with the health plans, with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, with a number of other groups. They've not registered any disapproval or disagreement. They know what I'm doing. When I first had this bill in 2009, I think I had 18 different stakeholder meetings. I said I'd be willing to do that and more this time if anyone has any objections or problems. There is someone who approached me recently about an amendment, probably not in time for this committee, but it has one more stop. And, Mr. Chair, I think the motion should be judiciary because I think Representative Hillstrom has asked for it. So hopefully time there. I'm happy to look at any amendments or changes. I just wanted to let you know on the committee members what this might mean in a particular case. So I have this one handout too, apart from the letter, that just shows a real world example. There's a large drugstore chain that I didn't and won't name where there was a big settlement, a national settlement, and the Minnesota share was $2.4 million basically. And this shows what the net gain would be to us if, presumably by passing this bill, we're now in conformity with the standards that the feds have set, what the gain would be in one particular case. And this is considered a pretty small case. In Wisconsin a few years ago, there was a settlement for $200 million, not $2.4 million. But just to take this one case that had been in the news at the time, because you can get up to triple damages, in these False Claims Act cases. They're not always easy to get, but you can. If you just want to look at the bottom line in bold, it shows that if we pass this bill, had it been in effect in 2008, we would have got an extra $242,000 for single damages, all the way up to $727,000 more for triple damages. So that's the bill, members. It's about making sure we can get that bump, that bonus. That's sort of the sweetener for passing this in the first place, and that's all I've got. So I stand for questions.
That sounds good. Thank you, Representative Simon. Members, any questions? Anybody in the audience want to speak for or against this bill? Representative Swidzinski.
Chair Hoppe, question. The funds just normally go right into the general fund?
That's correct.
Okay, so it doesn't say it would be in the healthcare field. It wouldn't stay within the healthcare, you know, depending on where the funds that would have potentially done the initial investment or where the claim came from. It doesn't have anything to do with that.
Representative Simon.
Representative Swidzinski, yeah, that's my understanding. It just goes to the general fund.
Thank you. Other questions, members? Not seeing anybody else rushing down from the crowd that wants to speak for or against this. So, Representative Simon, thank you. Nice job. I will renew my motion that House File 290 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary, Finance, and Policy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. The bill is passed and sent on to judiciary.
Members.
Thank you, Representative Simon. Members, it was very nice of Chair Atkins to let me chair for a few minutes today, but sometimes that can be a little dangerous. I'm going to cancel committee for tomorrow. So enjoy the time off. We won't be meeting tomorrow afternoon. In all seriousness, we are not meeting tomorrow. We are, however, going to have a special committee hearing on Monday afternoon, the 25th, on trademark bullying. With that, members, we are adjourned.